One, two, three, four.
Song Salad
with Shannon and Scott.
Welcome to Song Salad with Shannon and Scott.
I'm Shannon.
And I'm Scott.
And together,
we're Shannon and Scott.
We literally just said that. Pay attention, God.
Okay. Hostile show today.
Sorry.
All business.
It's just hot.
It's been hot. It's going to continue to be hot.
I know.
So
I know.
We got to resign ourselves.
Episode 21, though.
Hey.
Our podcast can drink.
Woo-hoo.
Woo.
Just picture that little cone confetti emoji. Party horn, is that what it's called?
I guess so. The one you couldn't find the other day?
Yes. You know what's cool, though? You can have Siri speak emojis. Did you know this?
No.
All right, we're doing it on air.
Okay. What should we have her say?
There's like a talk back feature on your iPhone, and you can type in a bunch of emojis and then have Siri like read it back to you. And with the little poop, it says piece of poop.
Really?
So Siri just goes, piece of poop. I was wrong. It's not piece of poop. It's
smiling pile of poo.
Smiling pile of poo. Here's the party hat.
Party popper.
Party popper.
Party popper.
Fried shrimp.
Bomb. 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 Donut.
All right, I don't know what this is going to sound like.
You made a sentence too?
Well, maybe I did. We'll see. Kay.
Person with medium light skin tone making an X sign with their arms. Bikini. Panda face. Chinabata tree.
What?
Person with medium light skin tone making an X with their arms.
Amazing.
I was hoping it would say like no bitch girl or
no
whatever.
No bitch girl. Exactly. All right, here's last one before we actually get down to business.
Full moon. Waning gibbous moon. Last quarter moon. Waning crescent moon. New moon. Waxing crescent moon. First quarter moon. Waxing gibbous moon.
Wow.
Stages of the moon. Now you know.
Stages of the moon.
This is fun.
This is fun.
How is this not just going to suck up the rest of our time?
I think we need a sister podcast called Shit Siri Says. Yeah.
Siri says the darndest things. All right. So
you can hear classic goofs like this and more on Song Salad, which you're listening to. Thanks for tuning in.
Oh, right. We haven't said what a song salad is.
A song salad is a random collection of emojis spoken by Siri.
Yep. Actually, kind of.
It's the equivalent in music form. No, Song Salad is a random article from Wikipedia combined with a random genre from moodfuse.com to create an original song.
Yes, it is.
And we'd like to thank you for subscribing, rating, and ringing.
Maybe you should have Siri do your part.
We'd like to thank you for subscribing, rating, and reviewing us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and all your favorite podcasting listening platforms.
And you can find us on Twitter at SongSaladCast and follow us there. We tweet out all the episodes. And if you tweeted us, we will like 150% tweet back at you.
Oh, definitely.
Because we have nothing better to do.
We just had some great Twitter exchanges with someone who was at the EDC festival.
Yep.
Who listened to our episode on the way home and was like, oh God, too much trance. Too much trance. So thank you, Josh J.
Woohoo.
Also, Sammy posted on my Facebook wall a description of what wind is. So thank you, Sammy.
Thank you, Sammy J, for making sure that Scott knows what wind is.
I appreciate the education.
If you don't know what we're talking about, listen to last week's episode. Should we get our music genre?
Let's get our genre. And I think the salad spinner this week should sound like Siri saying a sentence from each of our iPhones.
Do you think, should we try to make them talk to each other?
Maybe.
Like,
I think we should.
Okay, so I'm going to ask a question,
uh-huh,
and you're gonna do the answer.
Do an answer. Okay, here we go.
Okay, here we go. Ready? Here's your question.
Okay.
Woman receiving haircut. Nail polish being applied to fingers. Dancing women wearing bunny ears?
She says the question mark intonation. Bunny ears? It's so good. If you put a text question mark after the emojis, she'll go up on the end of her sentence. Should I say what the sentence was?
Sure.
It was girls' night?
All right, I'll craft a response.
Okay.
All right, here's my response.
Police officer. Eggplant. Face with heart-shaped eyes.
I think we should hire a stripper for our girls' night. Let's spin the salad spinner. Let's spin the salad spinner.
Yay, Siri.
Opera. Yes. Wow.
This is awesome.
Also, thank you, MoodFoos, for auto-generating an emotion to go with opera, which in this case is sexy.
I want to see what it says.
Sexy opera. It's trying really hard to find something that's like sexy opera. But in the meantime, let's get a nice little description of what opera actually means.
Yeah. Opera also is a very encompassing genre.
It is. But I think we can make it work.
It's more about the form and less about the style, I would argue.
I think you're exactly right.
Hey, look at that.
Opera is an art form in which singers and musicians perform a dramatic work combining text, in this case a libretto, and musical score, usually in a theatrical setting. In traditional opera, singers do two types of singing, recitative, a speech-inflected style, and arias, a more melodic style. And that's usually to differentiate between, like, quote-unquote, dialogue and songs.
We'll have to do examples of both of those.
Yes. Opera incorporates many of the elements of spoken theater, such as acting, scenery, and costumes, and sometimes includes dance. The performance is usually given in an opera house accompanied by an orchestra or a smaller musical ensemble, since the early 19th century has been led by a conductor. The Italian word opera means work. So when Hamilton is performed in Italy, Schuyler sisters will go, opera, 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 opera,
yeah?
Schuyler sisters.
Yeah, you think so?
Opera.
Cool.
The Italian word opera means work, both in the sense of the labor done and the result produced. So the word opera was first used in the sense of a composition in which poetry, dance, and music are combined in the Oxford English Dictionary in 1639. And the first recorded English usage of it dates to 1648. The first opera, as it's understood today, is considered to be Daphne by Jacopo Peri. And it was written in 1597.
That's definitely how he says his name.
1597. It seems like the earliest operas were really composed for performances in royal courts.
That makes sense.
And then in the mid to late 1600s, it started breaking out of that and being performed in theaters and then later opera houses. Started in Italy around that time. This was considered the Baroque era, which was then followed by the Classical era. And then it expanded over into Germany and France, and then English language operas as well, which were most prominent around the 17th and 18th centuries. Obviously, there's operas from all over the world now, and operas are still being composed today. An important thing about opera is what the singers do. So there's very specific vocal classifications for the singers that are based on the range in which the singers are singing, the type of music that their voices are most suited for, whether it's like a heavy dramatic sound or a light, nimble sound.
Mm-hmm.
And all of those different varieties have names. So in the most basic sense, you have ranges such as bass baritone, baritone, tenor, countertenor for men, and then contralto, mezzo-soprano, and soprano for women. You have a question?
In Was that in any kind of ascending or descending order of voice part for people who may not know?
Yes, that was in ascending, lowest to highest. Gotcha. So bass is the lowest and countertenor is the highest for men. Contralto is the lowest and soprano is the highest for women.
Well, it's only the highest for men if you're not a castrato.
And hopefully that doesn't happen anymore. But yeah, that's true.
It's when they cut your balls off so you can sing pretty.
Well, you can sing high. Maybe not pretty. Wouldn't that be sad if they cut your balls off and then you just like had a bad voice anyway?
And you like still weren't good.
Yep.
Oh, so terrible.
The more specific classification of a voice is, for an example, sopranos can be classified as lyric, coloratura, soubrette, spinto, dramatic. These basically define what kinds of roles in which operas you will be playing as a soprano.
And by more like character designations?
Well, character designation, but also what is required of the singer who's playing that character. So, mm-hmm. you know, the classic example of a coloratura soprano is the Queen of the Night aria,
sure.
which is very high and very fast and requires a lot of vocal agility. So that's what a coloratura soprano does.
Gotcha.
But in Wagner's music, for instance, who is a German?
Yes.
German composer. I was like, why am I second guessing myself?
I don't know.
Those are typically dramatic soprano roles because it's usually a bigger orchestra and you have to have a little bit more vocal power to project over it, and you don't need to be as agile vocally as you would with a classical opera like Mozart.
Gotcha. So what would be an emblematic example of opera that maybe people would know?
There's a bunch, I think. I think there's a lot of opera that has become part of the cultural mainstream as, like, a go-to. Here's, you know, in, like, a sitcom or something, if they have to show someone going to the opera, they probably would use, for example, the Toreador from yep. Carmen. Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to say.
Yeah.
So let's play a little snippet of that just so people know, like, oh, I've probably heard this before. But yes. Then we should play something else that's still classic, but maybe not as much in the mainstream.
Cool.
So here is the Chanson du Toreador from Carmen by Georges Bizet. Votre toast, que peut-vous le rendre, Seigneur, Seigneur, car avec les soldats. Oh, I was just going to talk about that.
Oh, well, I have a story about the Toreador song.
Oh, you do?
The Chanson du Toreador.
Yes.
So when I auditioned for my high school musical Beauty and the Beast,
uh-huh.
I was up for the part of the wardrobe.
Mm-hmm.
And they were like, sing something. We were at callbacks. And they were like, sing something operatic, like after we had already sung like her part of
right.
Be Our Guest or whatever. And I didn't know any operas. But I knew the tune of the Toreador song.
Uh-huh.
So I did Toreador, 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 Toreador.
Classic.
That's all I did. And they laughed. I was like, well, good.
Hey. So, did you get the part?
I was Mrs. Potts.
Oh, even better.
So I got a bigger part.
Yeah.
Boom.
You were like, comedy, gold.
I know.
So yeah, you're probably familiar with the Toreador song at home, too.
Yes.
And the next example that I want to play is something that you're probably familiar with as a tune. You might not know what it's called or what it's from, but this is called Quando Men Vo, and it's from La Boheme.
And if you think it's from Rent, you're wrong.
Right. It's the story of La Boheme inspired the story of Rent, in case you didn't know that.
Someone's mind just exploded out there. Yeah.
This is Maria Callas, a very famous, now deceased opera singer, singing Quando Men Vo.
Thank you.
So let's talk about the difference between Recitative and Aria for a little bit. So Recitative, like I mentioned, is sort of the you know equivalent of dialogue in an opera. So it's usually exposition, stuff that drives the story. That's not necessarily material that would make for a big bombastic song. So it's set to music in a way that sounds like speech, meaning it's usually on repeated single notes or very little variation in the notes that are being sung and done in a conversational style, usually between multiple performers.
So it would be like, if I were like Scott, is this how you do recitative?
And I would say, yes, this is recitative, and you can sing it too.
Go annoy all your friends by doing that.
Yep. And then usually it would lead into an aria that would be a distilled emotional moment for a character. And a lot of times arias are very few words, but in opera you have the opportunity to vocally show someone off, and you can have them sing on long, sustained syllables, and the number of words don't really matter, and you can repeat the same idea and the same phrase over and over, and it's all about being pretty.
So the words don't matter, and it's about being pretty.
Yep.
I feel like both of the examples that we played are what people would stereotypically think of as opera, but there are definitely some like more experimental and out there operas also. So like I feel like if you played, I don't know, if you played Bizet next to Vile, like they're not going to sound like anything really like each other, but they're still considered opera because they are through sung or through composed, meaning that there's not any dialogue spoken without music
accompaniment. Right. And they take the same form of having recitative and aria, and usually a multiple act structure, and usually performed with an orchestra or a smaller chamber ensemble of instruments.
And classically trained singers versus like pop or musical theater singers.
Right.
Yeah.
The examples that we played, the Carmen was written in 1875, and La Boheme was written by Puccini in, it was premiered in 1896. So, similar time period.
But good examples.
Yeah. Should we just go ahead and get our topic?
I think we should get our topic.
Because I think the topic will probably inform what we do more with the music.
Greatly. And if you recall, we had an opera as a topic in our Black Plastic episode.
We did.
Yeah, we did a like dark wave, Proserpine, right?
Proserpine.
Yeah.
Yes.
The story of Persephone.
Yes. By
do not remember that dude's, was it Lully? No.
No, it was like a G, an Italian G name, wasn't it? Giovanni Paisiello?
Wow, yes. You pulled that out of nowhere.
I did. Giovanni Paisiello.
Swish.
Boom. This coming after last week when I successfully pronounced that Russian word.
Yeah. I don't know successfully, but you sounded very confident.
It was convincing.
Fake it till you make it.
All right. Time to spin the salad spinner. My Siri is going to ask your Siri a question this time.
Okay, great.
Ghost. Horse face. Ghost. Man's head. Jack-o'-lantern.
Are you familiar with the legend of Sleepy Hollow?
I will tell you whether or not I am.
Fried shrimp. Fried shrimp.
Oh, it didn't do the exclamation point I had at the
end. Fried shrimp. How does that answer my question?
I'm kind of hungry.
Okay.
Spin the salad spinner.
Spinning it.
I mean, this is pretty funny.
It's pretty good.
Colonial Life and Accident Insurance Company.
The most exciting opera.
Lots of dramatic moments, though.
Oh, my gosh. Really? Colonial Life and Accident Insurance Company is an American insurance company based in Columbia, South Carolina.
Colonial Life offers disability, accident, life, cancer, critical illness, and hospital confinement insurance plans in 49 states.
What's the one they don't offer?
Do you think it's Alaska or Hawaii?
I'm going to say Hawaii.
I'm going to say Alaska because they probably don't need insurance there because it's the government.
Sarah Palin's giving them all insurance.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I guess we're writing an opera about Colonial Life and Accident Insurance Company.
Cool.
Actually, I should rephrase that. We're probably going to be writing a small recitative and an aria about Colonial Life Accident Insurance Company, not a full opera. Let's find out more about this insurance company and start putting together our orchestra.
Yeah, your huge orchestra you have to have.
We'll see. We'll see.
Yeah.
So since the Colonial Life and Accident Insurance Company is a modern existing insurance company, I figured I would want to compose this recitative and aria in the style of a modern opera, and I'm just going to go with my own compositional voice since I am a composer, and when I write arias and art songs, it's in an operatic style, so I'm just going to write it the way I would normally write it. Some really awesome living opera composers that you should check out if you're interested are Philip Glass, John Adams, William Bolcom, Jake Heggie, Tobias Picker, Carlisle Floyd, Jennifer Higdon, Mark Adamo, Thomas Addis, and the list goes on and on. But like, if you're interested in checking out modern operas that are really amazing and beautiful and accessible, check out those composers. But I'm going to use sort of a traditional orchestra sound as much as I can with electronic instruments, using strings, brass, percussion, and woodwinds to emulate the sound of an orchestra. And I'm going to write it in my own compositional voice that feels current.
Colonial Life traces its history back to 1929. In 1929, the founder Edwin, and at first I thought it was Avery, but Avery? I think it's just Averett.
Oh, but so spelled like Avery with the T at the end.
Yeah, it's very strange looking. Edwin Averett was working as a bond salesman in Birmingham, Alabama.
Woo.
And he met up with a former classmate who had some success selling individual accident insurance policies. Uh-huh. So that's like, if you buy an insurance policy for like a certain small amount of money a month, and then if you get into an accident and you can't work anymore or something, well, mm-hmm. that would be like disability. But in any case, you would then get a large sum of money.
Gotcha.
So the insurance company basically bets on the fact that you are not going to get hurt, but continue to pay them premiums.
Gotcha.
So like life insurance companies want you to live as long as possible.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas annuities, which are an insurance product, want you to die. So that they don't have to continue paying out premiums. Anyway,
right.
About 10 years after that, he actually founded the company, which was called Mutual Accident Company at the same time. And he did that with $2,000 that he'd earned on commission and a $3,000 investment from some people. Okay. So this is like pre-Silicon Valley, his first round of venture capital.
Yeah, he was doing the startup thing, man.
Yeah. And then he started selling policies that were actually very similar to those ones that his classmate had told him about.
Cool.
So anyway, blah, blah, blah. He like ran this company. It was successful. He retired in 1970 because of his health concerns. And then his son, Gail, replaced him.
Gail. Sorry, Gail.
Averett. So that's kind of all that's actually interesting about this company.
Great.
So I thought
gonna
it
make
might
for
be,
good music.
Yeah. But since we're writing in our own style.
Yeah, a Shannon and Scott original art song.
Sorry. this is going to be everyone's first introduction to our writing.
Usually we'll take like a couple months.
Yeah.
Maybe a year, right? Something like this. And yeah. Now we're going to do it in 20 minutes.
Cool. So. I thought that first meeting with his classmate, who is unnamed here and is apparently only named in a Forbes article from 1991 that is not on the internet, amazingly.
Okay.
So I could not actually find his name.
Uh-huh.
But I thought maybe their meeting and getting the idea for the company might be
that's a
the
good,
like
inciting action.
Yes. Yeah. So a little bit of like Wretched, and then mm-hmm. the aria is like, I have this great idea and I'm going to change the face of insurance.
I like it. So we're going to have a nice aria sung by Edwin Averett.
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 My other thing that I was like bouncing around was maybe it'll be like an Arya when his son is born and his like decision to name him Gale. That was like, that's, I think we should,
yeah.
That's mean spirited.
Plus our topic is the actual company.
Right, right, right.
Not the person. So yes. That's great. Well, let's put together some music and lyrics and right. See what happens.
Let's get cracking.
Got some lyrics?
I do got some lyrics.
Tell me.
I got some recitative.
Tell me about the recitative.
Okay, so the recitative.
You got it.
Recitative.
I believe in you.
Whew. The recitative is between Edwin and his friend.
Okay.
Who is just F in the dialogue for friend. But let's call him Fred. His name Fred? Might have been Fred. Fred.
Or friend.
Fred.
Fred.
Fred. Okay. Fred and Edwin.
Great.
And so it's their first meeting. And Fred is telling Edwin that he's, like, going to do really great stuff. And he's kind of bragging about how successful he's been selling accident insurance. Mm-hmm. And Edwin is, like, skeptical, but he's intrigued. But he doesn't want to let on that he's, like, intrigued by this scheme.
Mm-hmm.
So, how about I read Fred and you read Edwin?
Great. Let's do it.
I'm on to something great.
So you said.
I'll make $1 million by the time I'm 33.
Is that so?
The people in the cities are afraid of dying. They'll buy anything that makes the thought a little lighter on their minds.
$1 million, eh?
You wait and see.
Oh, I will.
You wait and see. And then there's like a musical transition into the aria.
Is there?
Well, there will be when you create it.
Great.
When it bursts fully formed from your brow
like
Athena
a beautiful
did
butterfly.
Zeus.
Oh, okay. I was going with a chrysalis thing. You went with gods. Anyway.
So then the lyrics are that Edwin sings, accident insurance, the craziest fool thing I ever heard. But $1 million, if that fool can sell a fool thing to some other fools in suits who never seen real danger in their lives, then I, superior salesman with charm enough to choke a horse, can sell it to the ones that need it most. I'll go to every farmhand, every railman in the land, and all the men who toil in the mines, the men who work the lumber yards, the factories and quarries, and I'll sell them what they didn't know they need.
Cool. That's an aria.
I don't know if that was, like, real. I don't know if he did that at all. I don't know who he sold it to. I don't know how he got successful. I just invented the fact that he meets this guy. This guy's, like, focusing on people in the cities to sell the accident insurance to, who probably don't really need it. But that's actually a better bet for the insurance company.
Mm-hmm.
But he's saying, I'm actually going to go out and insure the, like, really risky people.
Okay.
Which is probably not, like, the best business decision, but he'll probably get more volume of
untapped
people.
Untapped market, yeah.
Yeah, more volume of people who want the services.
Cool.
So it's a risk-reward thing.
We can invent this history for him.
Yeah, sure, why not? And it's also the kind of, I mean, I don't know if it's the same in opera. I'm not as well-versed in opera, but it's, like, a little bit like the I Want song at the beginning of a piece of musical theater.
And that idea does exist in opera,
sure.
too.
The main character has to, like, state the thing, that their object.
Right.
So that they can go pursue it, so we're not all confused.
Mm-hmm. In opera, sometimes it's even more obvious than in musical theater, because there's a lot of times just an I am this person song in an opera, you know?
Yes. So that's it. This is our style, which is unrhymed and sort of naturalistic dialogue, but also has a little bit more, it's a little bit tauter and tighter than how I would write this if I were writing a play. Like, I wouldn't have chosen the same words. It's slightly more poetic and lyrical.
Mm-hmm.
Even if I don't use end rhyme, I try to use, I try to connect phrases with assonance and consonants and internal rhyming.
Right.
Just to make it sound more of a piece than I would if I were writing just straight dialogue.
Cool.
Which you know.
Yes, but it's good for them to know.
Yeah.
And I want to say, so for the dialogue in the beginning, we will use the two of us. You will play
Fred.
Fred. And I will play Edwin.
Yes.
And This is actually a common thing in opera for women to play men in what are called pants roles. Usually it's a mezzo-soprano, which is like the medium-low vocal range, and it's a woman dressed in men's clothing and usually with their hair pulled back to look more like a man. And it's usually just to keep vocal variety intact, but also to have male characters. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So, like, instead, like, you know, say that your opera's character breakdown was like one woman that a bunch of men were vying for. Instead of having all baritones and one soprano, you could have like baritones, tenors, and mezzo sopranos in pants roles, and then a soprano female character. You know?
Yes, that makes sense.
So Fred is going to be a pants role in our opera.
And like, let's be honest, if I were an opera singer, I would definitely be in the bitches, witches, and britches category of mezzo character actresses. Right.
Right. Right. Yeah. For sure.
So. Are we going to do it? What's our opera called?
Oh, so we have to name the opera and we have to name the aria. Shoot. So the opera should be called...
The Mystery of Edwin Averett.
Yes, our opera is The Mystery of Edwin Averett. And the aria is called... What? Usually it's like a phrase from the beginning of the aria. What's the first line of the aria itself?
Accident insurance! Exclamation mark.
I think that's it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Accident insurance.
So yeah, this is accident insurance from The Mystery of Edwin Averett.
Oh, wait. The History of Edwin Averett.
The History of Edwin
Averett. So it's not directly a ripoff.
You're welcome, Rupert Holmes.
Yeah. Whatever, we're upping his SEO. We'll tag it.
There we go.
The History... of Edwin Averett.
Accident insurance.
I'm on to something great.
So you said.
I'll make $1 million by the time I'm 33.
Is that so?
The people in the cities are afraid of dying. They'll buy anything that makes the thought a little lighter on their minds.
$1 million.
You wait and see.
Oh, I will.
You wait and see.
Accident insurance, the craziest fool thing I ever heard. $1 million. If the fool can sell a fool thing to some other fools in some suits who never seen real danger in their lives. My superior salesman, with charm enough to choke a horse, can sell it to the ones that need it most. I'll go to every farmhand, every railman in the land, and all the men who toil in the mines, the men who work the lumberyards, the factories and quarries. And I'll sell them what they didn't know they need.
We're keeping it.
We're keeping it. We're actually going to turn this into a real opera.
Or about something else, though.
Just change the lyrics?
Yeah.
And keep the music?
But, like, the music's awesome.
Thanks.
You should be, like, a composer or something.
I try. Yeah. I dabble.
No, it's really good.
I mean, for how quickly we did this, I think it turned out very well.
There's, like, something about, like, what... you just did that, like, you are clearly at home doing.
Yeah.
And
more so than like drum and bass.
Well, sure. Like, yes. And I don't know. And like, I think that my sensibility also is much more, can be much more dramatic and lyrical.
Yeah.
Than, well, obviously the insurance company song is never going to be that exciting. You can only make insurance so exciting, and I think you did it.
Well, I mean, the listeners didn't hear this, but when we were first like going through what this was going to be, I like wrote the initial melody for the start of the aria, and I was like, oh, this is kind of cool. Like, this is exciting. I had the percussion going, and then I looked back at the lyrics and I was like, oh, the first lyric is accident insurance. accident insurance. Like, oh, man.
Yeah, it's definitely lame, but, like, it doesn't have to be.
Doesn't have to be.
If we wrote it about a cool thing, that's why I said we're going to keep it.
We're going to keep
it. We're going to wrap it up. We're going to wrap it in plastic wrap, put it in the freezer.
Re-gift it.
And we're going to, to you all someday.
People are going to hear this, like, in 20 years at some theater and be like, why is that tune so familiar?
Accident insurance.
Except it'll really be like, to the barricades. Yeah. Like, you know.
When we've rewritten Les Mis.
Les Mis 2, Electric Boogaloo.
Yeah.
Well, I think that was a rousing success. And I think the Colonial Life Insurance Company should give us money.
We should tweet it at them, though.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it's cool. Like, we're not making fun of them.
Oh, no. It's about their history.
It's super cool.
Totally.
Hear that? We're not making fun of you.
Thank you for listening.
You can rate, review, subscribe on iTunes or SoundCloud or your favorite pod vehicle.
Pod people.
And find us on Twitter at SongSaladCast. If you give us a review, we haven't gotten a review in a couple weeks, which I guess is like maybe we shouldn't admit things like that. I don't know.
Well, didn't you say that you knew someone that was writing us one, but they saved a draft of it and want to make sure it's perfect before they...
That's not what she said. She said that she couldn't get a username.
Oh, I thought she was just like... You know, editing it every couple days, like for the make sure it was the optimum like sentences.
No, she's just very considerate and didn't want to lose it just because she couldn't make the right user.
Like, I don't know if I should use fantastic or phenomenal. I just like can't decide.
Well, she is a great writer, so she
takes care in what she writes. Thank you.
In any case,
until next week.
I'm Shannon,
and I'm Scott,
and together
we're Shannon and Scott.
1, 2.
Good diction.
Good diction.